You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, welcome back to Locked On Cavs. I'm Chris Manning from FearTheSword.com. Joining me today, he was on about a week or two ago at this point. It's Evan Damorell from Fear the Sword from Forbes. Evan, what's going on, buddy?
Not a whole lot. Just been still a quiet summer.
Yeah, so it is. We're recording this on July 22nd, 8:12 p.m. The Cavs have still signed no free agents this summer. There has been nothing new. I've checked in on a couple of the guys you might think that they might be interested in. As far as I can tell, there have been talks, but not like anything concrete or firm in any one way. So the Cavs have 13 guys on the roster. We know from Chris Fedor that they're going to have one guy. They're going to leave one spot open to sign someone later on, or stand with a tax, or however you kind of want to frame that. But Evan, just what do you just make of the continuing fact that the Cavs are just having a very, very quiet summer? After the draft, of course.
It's just kind of a product of their circumstances. They're trying their hardest to stay under the luxury tax, and after some waving JR and everything, that seems they accomplished that goal, but still doesn't change the fact that they're dangerously close to that luxury tax threshold. And I think it's the right move, because you don't want to make a lot of short-sighted moves that could end up costing you in the long run, just to say like, oh, we get this guy, but it's not going to make a difference in the grand scheme of things. Because let's be frank, the Cavs aren't competing for the playoffs, and it's not really worth going over the luxury tax just to do that.
No, not at all. I mean, I think, like, do I think Nick Stout, like, I have a piece going up at Fear the Sword that's either up or will be up soon about the rotation, and just an early look at that. And wing is clearly the place where they need another body, I think. When you look at it, they basically have five guards, so you have Darius Garland, Colin Sexton, Delly, Jordan Clarkson, and Brandon Knight. So that's five guys for that spot. They're all sort of in that 6'4 and under range. And on the wing, you only have Jetty, who's a third-year guy who's only played a tad over 3,000 career minutes. You have Dylan Windler. You have Kevin Porter Jr., both of whom are rookies. Mm-hmm. Osmond's going to start, play a ton of minutes, probably at the 3 and the 4. I think they need more guys. They need another body just there in terms for depth purposes, if nothing else. And then you look at the front court. You have Love, Tristan, Nance, Zizic, Henson, Dean Wade on a two-way contract. That's a bunch of bigs. None of those guys are capable of sliding down to the three. Zizic and Tristan, I think, at this point are purely fives. We'll see if Henson could play some four, or if it even matters, because they just don't have anybody. But I think like a minimum guy or a cheap young guy like Gilbert Suzman, Jaron Blossom game, I think Stauskas, one of those three guys or someone else would make some sense. I thought Justin Holiday would have made some sense. I don't think at the price point that he ended up getting it made a ton of sense, but I think another body on the wing is just what I would do, just so you have some depth. It could be a two-way guy too. I'm not opposed to that, and just for an injury crisis comes up, but that means you would basically be committing to playing KPJ and Will Windler pretty heavy minutes from day one.
Yeah, I think at this point that you're definitely going to see both of them getting some serious burn. I wouldn't even be surprised if Windler gets bumped up to the four for a bit, just because of how awkward the fit is, and just because maybe the Cavs want to go smaller in that situation. But I agree. I think Zuzman's definitely an option. I like Blossom game just because he has a connection with the organization, and he was around the team with during summer league play and everything. And I think that says a lot, even though he was on the roster, but he didn't play, and he still hung out with the team and clearly was a big part of what they were doing in both Salt Lake City and Vegas. So I think he already has that foot up on everybody. And Stauskas is also a logical option too. He played with the team last year, has a bit of a connection with his limited time here. Wasn't too exciting, but he's a body to put on the wing, and he has that connection with Beeline, which always is a welcome addition. So maybe, just maybe, he'll finally unlock that eighth overall pick potential under his old college coach.
Yeah, and I think Blossom game at least like has the ability to play some defense. I think Zuzman is just like, if you want to bet on the guy that has the highest upside, he'd be the guy. I'd like some of what we saw from him, but we'll kind of see there. All right, Evan, we're going to talk today about jersey retirements and the concept of what Cavs should maybe have their jerseys retired. So basically there's a couple ones that I think we'll touch on that'll take up most of our time, that'll take up more of sort of whom we're talking about. But I want to start with a guy who was let go most recently, and that's J.R. Smith. J.R. obviously waived, is getting stretched out. He's still be on the books for a little bit longer, as they say, under the tax. But J.R. is gone. J.R. Smith, no longer a Cav, will, I think, always be remembered as a beloved fan favorite. Do you have any, just before we get into his legacy, I guess, do you have any just favorite non-JR walking shirtless at the parade J.R. Smith memories?
I mean, when he went nuclear against Atlanta in the playoffs, that was a pretty fun time as a fan. Like we did that debate piece on Fear the Sword. I kind of wrote that from a perspective of a fan who clearly loves everybody who plays for this team for at some point in their career. I think without that moment in Atlanta, it was just like, okay, it's a pretty awesome moment. Or the first game that he and Shumpert had back against the Knicks when they threw that lob play, I was just pretty excited about that. And I'll be frank, when J.R. Smith was traded to Cleveland, I was pretty bummed about it, because I'm just like, he's a bit of a problem. And it's a team that's already pretty volatile to begin with. That's the last thing they need, but it all worked out in the end. And for a while, especially when he was in his contract here, it's some of the most fun basketball I've ever watched, especially on the offensive side of the ball. And you have to take, like you said, like the shirtless moment's definitely like one of the bigger moments. And his press conference after game 7, when he broke down, was always a big moment for me too. And it's just, there's a lot of good memories, and it's unfortunate that towards the end of his time at Cleveland, there's a lot of bad stuff that came with having JR, but that's also what you get with him, is you have to take the good with the bad.
Yeah, so my thing with JR is I think the Game 7 buckets will go kind of forgotten history. I think he was so vital in that season. I think obviously, and like Amon Shumpert was the get, you know, looking at the analysis of that team, but JR Smith was way more impactful to the Cavs. I think I remember him buying, I think he ordered popcorn for, I don't remember what golfer it was, but he bought a golfer's son popcorn at a preseason game once. The scooter he was riding around. Like, I'm pro JR. I love JR Smith. He obviously, I think, has redeemed himself as a human being from some of the mistakes he had admittedly made when he was younger. I'll link it in the show notes, but there's this great GQ profile of him where he is just like a very cool dude, went everything he went through with his daughter. I'm going to be just a curmudgeon and say, like, he should be in, like, a ring of honor if the Cavs had that. I don't think 5 gets up there. I think if we were going to go, like, based on the previous precedent of, it's like, you guys like Bingo, you know, Austin Carr, for it was more just, like, a beloved franchise figure more than, you know, because he had all those injuries. JR could, like, you could put him up there in that regard if you wanted to. I would rather just, I think he fits better as a, I just think he's, like, better as a guy who should be in a Ring of Honor or a Team Hall of Fame, or, like, with the 26 team. Honor him in a different way. I don't think jersey retirement's the right way to do it, but I think he unquestionably should be honored. I just don't think 5 is, like, how – putting 5 up in the rafters is exactly how I would do it.
After what I said, I read what you said, and I do agree. I'm not trying to circle back a little bit. I do agree that – he should be honored in some capacity. Basketball's weird. People either you have to be an absolute legend to get your jersey retired, and if that's the case, it should be Michael Jordan, LeBron at every arena, Larry Bird, and Bill Russell, and just other big legends like that. But if a player is special to a team, and it's just a player like J.R. Smith, like, I think what he did for the Cavs in 2016 will never be underappreciated here. And you could definitely tell that he's special and he's loved when you looked at him during the All-Star game and the crowd went absolutely nuts for him when he was up to bat and everything. And just he was soaking up the moment. And I think that memory is the last good memory. If that's the last good memory fans have of J.R. Smith, that's a happy one. But after reading what you said, I do agree. Maybe making a case for retiring 5 is a little more difficult just because he's not really a career Cavalier either. But and honoring him in some capacity should definitely be in consideration, just because how vital he was to what the team needed in 2016 and even in any of the finals runs. I mean, barring the last one, which is an unfortunate memory. So
yeah, and I would just say, like, I choose to ignore the game one gaffe for Slade's selfish reasons. I was just thinking, like, he deserves a lot of credit for, like, embracing the city in a way that was just so endearing and so, like, authentic. Like, his excitement over the Indians, the Browns games, like, getting pumped about Ohio State games. Like, I love that JR just, like, made himself part of this community. I think there's something really to that. And, yeah, I'm very, very pro him in that way. We're going to take a quick break, and I think we're going to come back and talk about a couple other guys that are more compelling. We'll run through a bunch of them, but if you haven't already, make sure to check out Locked On Browns. Brown season's coming up. Jeff Lloyd is really starting to cook up a ton on the Browns, on OBJ, and a whole bunch of other stuff. So stay tuned for that, and check out Jeff talking about the Browns on Locked On Browns. You can find that where you're listening to Locked On Cavs right now. We'll be right back. Okay, Evan, I'm going to just say I think there are a couple locks in this list. I think when we did this, I think there's a couple that I just feel are locks. There's actually one I flip-flop on based on what you wrote, funnily enough, to kind of reverse. But I think LeBron is a lock. I think, like, that dude should get a statue. He should get his jersey retired. He should have, like, his name on the – like, just honor LeBron however you can. Like, you actually wrote – and when I put his name on that list, you, like, actually responded to it. I just wrote the word duh.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so obvious. Like, no one should ever wear 23 again. I just honor him in as many ways as you possibly can, I think, is the thing with him. I don't really think, like, a jersey retirement is going to happen when he retires and, you know, whenever that is. But I also just think, like, there's going to be something very special. There should be more done for him just based on him being the most impactful player that will ever wear a Cavaliers uniform.
No, I totally agree. I mean, the jersey retirement's the bare minimum. But,
like, retire six first practice jersey. Like, retire them both. Yeah, I don't care.
Why not? Like I said, the Cavs' legacy is entirely tied to LeBron. And I've mentioned it in pieces for Forbes, and I'm sure I mentioned it in other places too, but the Cavs will forever be in the shadow of LeBron James. And that's obviously it's a pretty big shadow to be in, but like you said, retire the jersey, retire six, retire 23, give him a statue outside of the arena. Hell, make a museum of all of his honors and accolades when you're inside the arena. Name the court after him. The Cavaliers can play at LeBron James Court at Rocket Mortgage Field House, and you could add a couple more superlatives in there just to make it more of a diarrhea of the mouth at that point. But it's just LeBron's obviously a lock, but it's just how much he means to the city and the region and everything else. Is just, he's a homegrown kid, and he came back and did the impossible, in the fact that he ended that Cleveland drought, and the fact that he did it in one of the most insane ways possible is just, I mean, that cemented his legacy as the greatest Cleveland athlete in Cleveland sports history.
Yeah, and put like the statue of him, like one on one side of the building of him, like, doing the block on Iguodala, one of him, like, holding up the trophy, just every statue you can do. Let's go to Andy Varejão next, because he's the one I flip-flopped on. I think he's going to go – I think if I were to rewrite this today, I would say, like, he should be in the same class as JR. I think the tenure for the team, you know, makes him a longer tenured guy. I think he's someone who – obviously, we'll have some historical, statistical things in terms of where he is in leaderboards. Nothing at the top, but he's on there. Was beloved for a long time. Was with the team and committed to the team during some dark days. Ultimately, was on the other side of the title, which makes it sort of awkward, even though it was like a business decision. But
yeah,
I think he's a Ring of Honor type, not a jersey retirement type.
No, I'd agree with that as well. Taking my fan glasses off. I admit it. I will admit to you and admit to anyone that I have a big soft spot for Andy. He was definitely he definitely just made things a lot better for the team during the dark times after LeBron left. And like, his pick and pop with Kyrie was absolute money. And then in 2012 to 2013, he was putting up a legitimate case to be an all-star when he was averaging 14 and 14. And it felt nice because Cavs fans had something to root for. Because, I mean, Kyrie Irving was special at the time, but we had, like, a legitimate all someone in the conversation who could have been a legitimate all-star. And then, obviously, the blood happened, and then it's always just freak injuries and for to join Golden State because he didn't know how much longer he had, I'm assuming, in the NBA. And why not try and win a ring when you can? And for the elbow and everything in the NBA Finals. But he also did come up to have the gall to play Varejao some serious minutes in the Finals. So kind of helped out the Cavs in the end in that regard.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're in agreement there. All right, let's just kick the – I just want to say I think Tristan Thompson – I think his case is pretty direct. I think there's a very clear argument from there. How much longer he's with the Cavs and how much more he accomplishes will, I think, say a part in this. But I think he probably, if I were to, again, redo this, I think he has a stronger argument than Varejao. He's on the title team. We'll go down as just a long-tenured, really important guy in the franchise. I think if he racks up four more years of good numbers, I think he gets there, but I think right now it's like right on the line. But I think I would have him ahead of Varejao and ahead of JR.
I would agree with that because his entire it's tricky because the Cavs have money committed to Nance, they have money committed to Love, and I think I don't know if signing Tristan to an extension is in the cards for them. So this very well could be Tristan's last year in Cleveland, and just the numbers that he's put up since he's been here when he was drafted with Kyrie. I'm just going through the numbers now. He's second in offensive rebounds, sixth in defensive rebounds, ninth in games played, and he was big in a lot of those title runs. Kind of exposed Al Horford in the playoffs. His switch defense was great, and I think people were a little down on him for a while, and speaking to Justin Rowan about this in private, who doesn't hide his Canadian pride ever, he definitely brings up a good point that people felt a little down on Tristan just because he was hurt for the better part of – or not the better part, but he was hurt during the Cavs' last final run. And then last season, he just kind of was the first time he finally looked vulnerable. And I don't know. I think Tristan is a legitimately good player. I think if he stays at Cleveland, like you said, for four more years, if the money somehow works, that definitely locks up the case. But just the numbers and the impact and how crucial he was to those title teams definitely makes a case for me that 13 could get up in the rafters. And like you said, looking back after like letting the dust settle for a few days, I think he has a better case than JR and Andy at this point.
Yeah, and I just want to say, like, I think people with Tristan have to just remember, like, the dude literally put his body, like, so many minutes and so many games on his body that, like, a breakdown like he had makes a lot of logical sense. Like, yeah. The Iron Man of what he was doing and how many games he played and then playing for Team Canada and everything, like, that type of physical breakdown for someone that's, like, almost 30 years old, like, makes quite a bit of sense. So I think, like, that was always going to happen. I think him playing fewer minutes, I think maybe the lessening of the player fronts could help extend him out a little bit, but we'll see where he goes. But I think what his future is like with the Cavs or if he ends up somewhere else will be really, really interesting. Because I do think he'd be a smart kid for a contender, but is a contender going to want to, even if he's expiring, to pay him X amount of dollars at some point? That's one of the bigger questions I think I have about this Cavs season. All right, we're going to take one last break, and we're going to be back with more with Evan. So stay tuned for more Locked On Cavs. Again, check out Locked On Browns, Locked On Indians. We'll have you covered on the two other great Cleveland teams. We'll be right back. All right, Evan, we're back. Last two people. I'm going to let you pick who you want to talk about first because I think the Kyrie one is more compelling just because it's more awkward. I think Kevin Love, like, he plays a couple more seasons, like, with the team, puts up a bunch of numbers, helps them get back to the playoffs. Like, he gets his jersey retired. I think if he got traded today, it's a little dicier. He might just be, like, a beloved figure in the franchise for a long time. The Kyrie one is so weird to me because, like, him and the organization are not, like, in a good place. So who do you want to talk about first?
We can start with Kevin and save Kyrie for the best for last because yeah, okay. He's definitely an interesting case.
Yeah, it's a thing. Kevin, I think if he plays out the rest of this contract, makes some all-star teams, helps them get back to the playoffs, and then maybe finish his career here or something like that, I think there's no question. It's your retire, but I think, again, I think if he got traded today, it feels like there's not quite enough, even if he should also, be inducted in a first-class all-time Cavs Ring of Honor, right? I think he's been that impactful. They don't win a title without him. He's always going to be the guy that gets overlooked on that title team. I think everyone can agree with that. But where are you at on Kevin?
I think Kevin is just kind of, as a fan of the team, he's just kind of the guy that I maybe have always thought highly of. Just what he does off the court is something I always think is super cool. I've told him on multiple occasions he's a modern day Superman, and he awkwardly says thank you because I don't know if he knows he agrees with that or not. I mean, he's a humble guy, humble enough because he always can crack a joke and keep you on your toes, as you know, I'm sure. But it's just, he was a legitimate superstar in Minnesota. Now granted, that a lot of that was empty stats, a lot of empty calories because of the numbers he put up, and Minnesota didn't get very far. So when he came here, he had to learn to play third fiddle to Kyrie and LeBron. And there was obviously a lot of bumpy steps along the way. And he just kind of became the Chris Bosh of this team, where if all else fails, blame Kevin Love. Is it Jimmy Fallon or Jimmy Kimmel that does NBA mean tweets?
I think it's Kimmel.
Either way, they both blur to me, which is
white guy talk show host. It's fine.
Exactly. I don't know. Kevin's just kind of embraced the joke at this point. He just knows his name's always going to be in trade rumors. I wouldn't even be surprised if you look back at that point in the internet that maybe soon after he got traded here, maybe a few weeks of the season, there was already rumblings that the Cavs might be trying to move him, or somebody was displeased with him, or yada yada yada. But it says a lot about a guy who is a superstar and arguably a top 10 player when he came into Cleveland to take that third fiddle option, and then still, I mean, even though he was neutralized a lot in the playoffs, especially after Kevin Durant came into town, he was just vital to the team's success to win a championship and in that title run. And I think him wanting to commit to Cleveland long term, granted, I think maybe a little bit of that is also that the Cavs are willing to pony up the money, and I don't think Kevin's a dumb guy and you don't say no to that kind of offer. But the fact that he even considered staying here, especially for a team in a city that has a hard time retaining stars, the Indians are the best example of that. That's just because the owner's cheap as well. But the Cavs are able to keep an all-star forward. And like you said, if he plays out the rest of his career, and we talked about this before, but I don't know if it'll be tough to see what kind of trade market is out there for Kevin Love. And for all we know, one could never really materialize that impresses Kobe Altman and the Cavs enough to trade him, and he could easily play out the remainder of his contract, even the remainder of his career here. And if he does, that definitely solidifies the case for him staying here. But it's definitely just it's a unique situation, but it's just because I think he's a star player that is willing to commit the rest of his career, especially in a rebuilding situation, put him into higher regard for me. But the title, him being such a big part of those four championship runs and getting one title out of it, at least puts him in the conversation for me. But how it, like you said, how it pans out from here on definitely will shake up how the conversation ends.
Yeah, but definitely, I think, an icon for the franchise and not forever. Let's just, the Kyrie thing for me, it's just like, he could get his jersey retired and be like, I'm on Mars, I can't make it, sorry, this isn't in my prism of realness or my reality, that's fine. He hit the biggest shot in franchise history, the biggest shot that will ever be hit for the Cavs. Ever. There's just no way anyone's ever beating that moment. Huge numbers, was the face of the franchise, was essential, the number two guy, those LeBron title-contending years. He gets his jersey retired. I just don't think there... I just think, the shot he hit, even if it's awkward, even if he, doesn't want to come back, or, he's not even attached to the number two and when he goes to other places, or, wasn't attached to it when, he was asked if he was annoyed that Colin Sexton got that number. I don't even care that Colin Sexton got the number. Kyrie's going to get his jersey retired at some point, I think. I would assume. I would just assume because of the shot he hit.
No, I would totally agree. And it's just, it's a lot of things for me with Kyrie. He was the first glimmer of hope the Cavs had after LeBron first left. And it felt like that first year after LeBron left was soul crushing to watch as a basketball fan. And then you get this kid from Duke who hardly played, and a lot of people thought that you should have taken Derek Williams over him and then Kemba Walker at four, whatever the pundits, or even Brandon Knight at the time. And jokes on them, we got Brandon Knight now. But it's just, he was the one, like you said, he was the face of the franchise for the while, and he gave Cavs fans hope, and he was able to reintroduce casual fans to Cavaliers basketball. And then by the time LeBron came back, he was already beloved by the crowd, for the fans. And then everything just kind of fell into place. And then obviously he burned every bridge and then some on his way out and did the same in Boston. And I think Kyrie's just, he's a weird dude. He is happiest when he's totally unhappy with the situation. So best of luck to him in Brooklyn, and best of luck to Brooklyn with him. But I think when the dust settles and maybe Kyrie grows up a little bit and realizes that not everybody's out to get him, or not everybody's out here to spite him, that I think they can mend the fences between each other. And I think, like you said, two should be retired. And I wrote it in the piece, but I thought it was weird. Like, I get it. Colin Sexton's wore two at Alabama and wanted to wear it with Cleveland, but I just thought it was weird, I guess, that the Cavs gave Kyrie the Dwight Howard treatment, like when Tobias Harris was traded there and he took number 12.
Yeah.
I was just like, this is a little awkward. Like, I don't know. I think you can make the case for other players in other eras being the best point guard in Cavaliers history, but at least for me, like, Kyrie is arguably one of the best point guards in Cavaliers history. So, like, I respect Sexton's a fine player and all that. I don't really care at this point that he wears number two, but like at the time I was just like, that's a little weird, because I remember when Kyrie was drafted by Cleveland, he asked to wear number 11, and they said no, we're gonna retire that number someday, and they didn't retire Z's number until a few years after the fact. So I don't understand. Maybe it's a little bit of the bridge still being burned and some hurt feelings that they let Sexton take too, but it was just weird at the time. But yeah, no, just like the shot, everything else in between, just everything Kyrie has been a part of for this team and organization solidifies his case to have number two retired. And it is what it is. It'll happen soon. It'll happen at some point in my life. But, and like you said, he could be on Mars and he could just FaceTime in for the jersey retirement. Just, it's not a big deal.
Like, text in, yeah. Like, thanks, guys. Instagram posts, something like that. Evan, is there anyone in our thing that we didn't touch on that you feel like that you just have a argument for one another? Because I don't think there's anyone that I feel like I missed in thinking about this. I admittedly did it quickly, but I don't think I missed anyone major.
No, I mean, right now there's no one worthwhile. I mean, I guess it is worth noting that Dylan Windler took Cavs legend Dwayne Wade's number 9, so that's going to be a tough one pill to swallow.
Cavs legend Dwayne Wade. Can't believe the organization's just out here disrespecting people like that. Unbelievable.
You hate to see it, but it's just it's just right now the Cavs are in a weird spot. Not a lot to talk about, so it was definitely fun to do a debate piece like this, because there's definitely some mixed emotions on certain players, and he might be Brazilian and he might have a very floppy hairdo that strikes a chord with some, it strikes a divisive chord with a few fans out there. So yeah,
you're right. But you can find Evan on Twitter at @amnotevan. He'll be on, I think, hopefully in the future on Fear the Sword again. Find his writing at Fear the Sword, and most often at Forbes. Evan, thanks so much as always for coming on.
Thanks, I appreciate it.